This is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode in which I will continue the audio version of my book titled My Tongue is the Pen of a Ready Writer, Adding Color to a World of Gray.
Did you see, did you hear about the riots right here in the town? Well, nearly a riot with riprap all roaming around. The zealots are stirring the pot, 'cause it's matter, I really think not. And the day that it does is the day it'll be, when the drinks are on me. Now the priests and the prophets are praying for people's release. From Herod the Terror and Caesar Augustus the Beast. Been in bondage for 400 years, and the day our deliverer appears is the day that we're free, and my friend that'll be when the drinks are on me. Well, no one can say what I can or can't think, and no man dare say what I can or can't think. There must be a creed which we all can believe. There must be beliefs, men, on which we agree. Drink is our creed, and it's all that we need. Yes, we've seen it all, heard it all, done it all, been there before. All the whining and crying about politics, God, weeds, and war. Convictions mean nothing to me. Makes no difference in what we believe. And the day that it does is the day it'll be, when the cucumber sprouts on the sycamore tree, when fishes are seen swimming in the Red Sea, when a miracle happens, my friends, that'll be when the drinks are on me.
Chapter 33, page 97. Get ready. A summary of scriptures concerning the future. Introduction. Certain portions of the following material has been covered in some detail. Because the pattern in the Bible is repetition, which is the key to learning, some of the scriptures are repeated from the previous sections. Without rewriting the Bible, this will be a concise outline of the order of events that will take place leading up to and whenever the pseudo-Christ takes the stage on the global scene, with only a facade of peace and safety. Be forewarned that for this man to be accepted by most of the world population, there will be massive, large-scale disasters, including economical, nuclear, chemical, biological attacks, wars, widespread famines, diseases, and possibly a, quote, UFO, alien scare, or salvation, might be in the bag of tricks this deceiving Antichrist will utilize to ascend to global dominance while speaking peace and safety. A potential UFO slash alien event is very likely. The past 60 years, this world has been conditioned by Hollywood, comic books, cartoons, homemade videos, and a plethora of books and documentaries about this subject, plus all the sci-fi. Mankind's consciousness is very much aware of it, in tune with, and fascinated by the UFO phenomena. For Christians to rule this subject out altogether is a weak-kneed approach and a lousy answer. The reasons Christians or anyone else should be on the defensive against some form of contact are, but not limited to, these. 1. The Bible, God's Word, has no mention of such aliens in outer space. It isn't that God couldn't, but that He didn't. It is similar to the subject of homosexuality. The geneticist will surely find a gene for that kind of design denying depravity. It won't be a reflection of God's original design in the DNA, but either a DNA degradation, like cancer, something gone wrong due to diet and lifestyle, or sin's effect on the genome. Or it will be by a scientist's manipulation of the genes to suggest that homosexuality is genetic, like the color of skin, and thereby the laws pertaining to discrimination. If they do come up with such a thing, God's command still stands, and Christ's mandate to be born again necessarily remains. Like unnatural homosexuality, aliens and UFOs from outer space don't exist, but will be used by people in government to their desired end. That end being the full acceptance of what is human and hellish in origin, not divinely designed. 2. The intelligent design and irreducible complexity of biological and astronomical systems make life systems by random chance processes resulting from explosions impossible on Earth or anywhere else in the universe. Thirdly, the word of the Almighty doesn't allow for belief in this modern phenomena, but does contain extensive information that, by specific mention or deduced principles, spells out devils, aka demons, fallen angels, good angels, that is what people think are good, but in essence are evil, and spirit guides, being involved in the minds and bodies of mankind while influencing mankind's affairs on this planet. Fourthly, being angelic, spiritual in nature, these entities seem to have extra-dimensional means of movement and communication around and within mankind, animals, and even inorganic material. These entities have a power or force to persuade a person and even large populations of people. Think of radio frequencies to the brain. Fifth, what better way is there to convince mankind via false scientific conclusions that there is no God, at least the God of the Bible, behind our existence, and thereby life like us or beyond us must exist throughout this enormous universe? Sixth, when the presupposition is wrong, cosmological and biological macroevolutionary theories, the conclusions determined to be fact will be false. Evolution is impossible. Seventh, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Don't be surprised at how good he is. Eighth, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and the lying wonders. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9, 11, and 12. If you need or want more information about this subject, get the book, audiobook, and or video, Alien Intrusion, UFOs and the Evolution Connection, by Gary Bates, published by Master Books in 2004. It, too, is available at Answers in Genesis. Their website is answersingenesis.org to obtain more information about those materials. Ninth, with today's technical capabilities, hologram development, and the other abilities unknown to the general public, let no man deceive you. But remember all of the Lord's words regarding his return and the deception during that time. 10th, how could so many people be deceived? God sends the delusion they will be overcome by, that they believe this lie, because they believe not the truth. 11th, History repeats itself and reveals how people worship bad ideas to the peril of those who don't consent. The 20th and 21st centuries untold millions throughout Africa, the 19th and 20th centuries 30-plus million due to Marxist, Stalin, and Jewish kinds of Bolshevik communism. The 30s and 40s Holocaust of supposed 6 million. The 70s 15 million Cambodians. Chinese communism murdered 64 million because DC didn't help Chinese nationalists. And 30 million plus U.S. Democratic choice abortions in 35 years. 12th, billions are prophesied by both direct and planned consequential effects due to the capitalistic fascist military-industrial democracies spread around the world to control opium, oil, and other natural resources for the defense, surveillance, and pharmaceutical corporations motivated by the root of all evil, the love of money. 13th. Therefore, the conclusions regarding a potential and highly probable UFO alien attack upon or answer for mankind will not be from other galaxies. It will be some high-tech mystery carried out by devils in the minds of men through what is available to shadow governments, and by large-scale apparitions, that is, community psychotic phenomena, around the world. Most reading this are subject to that deception. While the various governments of the world struggle and fail, the masses of mankind will look to this man as their last and only hope from the both real and false flag acts of mass terrorism. Real attacks of Muslim jihad will occur because of the Western foreign policies regarding the Middle East. False flag operations are those large-scale 9/11s and 7/7s in London, Oklahoma City, Spain, 3/11, throughout intricately planned, financed, and orchestrated terrorist operations controlled by the global elite using criminal politicians inside the U.S., British, European, and Israeli governments in concert with rogue groups within the various intelligence agencies and corporate criminals. This will bring about the global government ushering in the beast. In concert with the devil, a false spiritual system will unify the world's religions into one against religious fundamentalism, aimed at Muslim jihadists, and by extension, affecting any who don't support the global system of control. That religious system, for a short time, will be merged with the global government deceiving the world in obeying the dragon via the beast. These horrible conditions won't happen all at once. Rather, they will happen incrementally and rapidly over a period of a few years. All this is described in the first six seals of Revelation chapter 6, covered later in this book. The events described are classified as the beginning of sorrows by the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Great Tribulation, which is commonly tossed around. The important thing to keep in mind is these events are regulated by the Lord Jesus, the one opening the seals covering the book or scroll. These seals were customary in ancient times, and were used to ensure the documents, letters, etc. had not been tampered with. One or more seals actually had a task associated with it that must be performed before opening the others. For instance, certain people would have to be present. In that day, anyone reading this description would understand the imagery. Lord Jesus is the one opening the seals to the book that must be performed before the book itself could be opened, read, and performed. These events are on the outside of the book and within God's sovereign plan for the ages. The point to consider is these events are primarily God's general wrath on mankind. John chapter 3, 36, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Which is consequential in nature, as in put your hand in the fire, it burns. This is not God's specific or eternal wrath, but rather His general wrath. General wrath, which is consequential wrath, is the everywhere present effects of transgressing His natural law. Also, within His general wrath, God allows a paradoxical and systematic operation by the devil and mankind, tyrannical wrath, to attempt to remove God's principles out of everything or distort the truth concerning His word, will, and way. This happened in Noah's day, Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 12. At the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, Moses and Pharaoh in Egypt, Exodus chapters 1 through 15, and many more should be read about. All of it can be summed up in the following passages. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Thus they provoked Him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. The developing beast empire will be conquered too. You are admonished to watch the included DVDs inside the cover of this book. For those listening to the podcast, they're obtainable by contacting GoYe International through the various means. For those familiar with Google Video, you can go to the Google Video page and type in the search. These are all separate words, as in a title. Don't tag Texas menu. And after hitting enter, you will land upon, it's about a 30-second menu, and you look to the related videos on the right-hand side, and there follow parts 1 through 11, totaling almost 8 hours. You will get the idea. Those are the discs that are included with the hard copy. Some of the videos now available online. More to come in the future. In these videos, you will learn the history, philosophy, and deadly plans these kings intend to and have invented to control, contaminate, and ultimately annihilate most of mankind over the next 50 years, if not less. Their plans are 80% plus. Just do a Google search for the United Nations population reduction titled Agenda 21. Now remember, all of this takes place under the general consequential wrath of God combined with tyrannical wrath that is man's madness at the helm, as it will appear, propelled by the devil having great wrath. God's wrath has 3 degrees of purpose and intensity. General, which is consequential, already covered. Specific, which is judicial in nature. And eternal, which is punitive in nature. Here are samples of the four categories with their degrees of intensity found in the Holy Bible. The Bible doctrine of the wrath of God, the devil, and of man. General wrath. It is consequential in purpose and the least in intensity, being the effects of transgressing God's law upon everyone at all times for sin committed. It is experienced naturally. It is also assigned to government to perform. However, governments fail miserably in doing this correctly. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Be ye not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is experienced while living. John chapter 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice the present tense, abideth. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This wrath is revealed in the reaping consequences while the person is alive, as in adultery, reaping distressed emotions and a blemished memory, guilt, for the remainder of their days, plus STDs. Romans chapter 4 verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath in the conscience. Romans chapter 13 verse 4. Government, not the type, but the authority God designates to it, is described as executing wrath. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth, that is the government, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Colossians chapter 3 verse 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Ephesians 5 6. Let no man deceive you that with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Psalm 88, verse 16. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me, thy terrors have cut me off. General wrath is consequential and is experienced while alive. Psalm chapter 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Specific wrath. Judicial in purpose and severe in intensity, it is performed upon a person or nation as God decrees, resulting in death upon most of the people most of the time. There are exceptions. It is experienced while living. While God performs his judicial wrath on America, not as part of the global wrath to come, it will affect Christians in the availability of food and resources, money, health, etc. Because the Christian didn't know or practice the wisdom of a prudent person that dealeth with knowledge, but as a fool he layeth open his folly. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Depending on the level, L1 or L2, will determine the Christian's experience therein. L1, God's people may avoid its full impact by personal repentance and prudent decision making, but will still feel its effect to some degree, as ripples across a pool of water. L2, in God's judicial specific wrath, God's people are saved from this level of intensity in God's judicial wrath because, as Christ's bride, we are not appointed to such wrath. Here are some passages confirming specific wrath, judicial L1. Exodus chapter 32, verse 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Deuteronomy 11, 17. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. The sons of Jacob, Israel, experienced it in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 7, verse 11. Now there came a dearth, famine, over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. Judean Christians encountered it in the New Testament when God judged the Roman government and the governors in Jerusalem for their participation in the crucifixion of Christ. Keep in mind that Christians are affected by this judgment on a community's evil. Acts chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. As can be seen, L1 can and will affect Christians, and it is up to them to prepare in advance in the event something happens. It's not if, but when. Here are a couple of verses indicating Christians' escape from specific wrath, judicial L2 wrath, to occur sometime after October 2006 AD, when the book was printed, March 2008, at the recording of this podcast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. This is the wrath repentant, believing Christians will be delivered from, if you happen to be alive at that time. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed to us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Next are a few verses indicating God's specific wrath, judicial L2. This category and level is executed upon most, if not all, nations for their collective rebellion against Almighty God. This level decimates most of the population and destroys most of the man-made infrastructure on earth. Lord Jesus has saved us from this degree of wrath to come as a benefit of his atonement. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Notice this kind of wrath is not abiding upon a person, as in the general, revealed from heaven by consequence category. This wrath has not come yet. However, during John's vision on the Lord's day, he witnessed the time in which this level of specific L2 wrath does come. He recorded that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us! And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Psalm 110, verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Isaiah chapter 13 verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof of it. Isaiah 13 verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 10. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Revelation chapter 15 verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Revelation 15 verse 7. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 16 verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Lastly, we come to eternal wrath. Punitive in purpose and extreme in intensity, being the fullness of God's fury upon the transgressors in his universe. It is experienced after the resurrection from the dead at Judgment Day, wherein the second death punishment will occur. Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Mark chapter 3 verse 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 2 speaks of eternal judgment. Jude chapter 1 verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Matthew chapter 18 verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Matthew 25 verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Next is tyrannical wrath. It was mentioned earlier, and this is something that goes on continuously all the time, but in the terms of just describing the categories of wrath as revealed in the Holy Bible, it is included here. Tyrannical wrath, hateful in purpose and varying in intensity, carried out by Satan, the devil, and or mankind, working alone or together due to mankind's depraved condition. This is allowed within the confines of God's sovereignty and is applicable to all mankind, but is usually aimed towards Jews and those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1 verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Revelation 12 verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Luke chapter 21 verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Revelation chapter 18, verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. All this has been described that you understand when reading about God unleashing his full, severe wrath beginning in Revelation chapter 7. The distinction will be so sure in your mind, you know it is what Christians will be saved from. Not great tribulation, as previously discussed and is erroneously taught today in pre-tribulational rapturism, or an any moment now imminent exit rapture. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. This is enough introduction to and foundation in the content of Revelation. Here is what you will read in the Bible, if you read it at all, as it is, where it is. His word is sufficient enough if you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is still chapter 33 on page 108. Day of the Lord in the book of Revelation. Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. In contrast to general depraved and sinful mankind, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This was the case for Apostle John in 90 to 95 AD, when the final New Testament book, Revelation, was recorded for all to read or hear. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as a trumpet. Apostle John, during his revelation of Jesus Christ, was in the Spirit from his time in 90 to 95 AD, transported in vision to the future time frame described in the Holy Bible as the Day of the Lord, or the Lord's Day, Day of Christ, that great day of God. He would see things in symbolic imagery that represented real people, real problems, real nations, real stuff. This day, the Lord's Day, is not Sunday, or the Sabbath day, for that matter. This is known by the very verses about the first day of the week covered in the Sabbath chapter on page 145. In the New Testament, there are a few passages using the phrase first day of the week. These letters are written by four different holy yeomen spanning over 30 years, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in two different letters, Paul. There is a uniformity and consistency when they use the Greek phrase, which is translated the first day of the week, seven times, and a slight variation again in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, having to do with the time of the day on the first day of the week. The point emphasized here is the first day of the week was used multiple times by four authors the exact same way. The mistaken deduction, both today and in the fourth century, by Christians is saying the first day of the week is synonymous with the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, erroneously called Sunday. Most people just believe what they are told and don't check it out. with the Greek game to follow that most Christians don't know how to or could care less to figure out, just stay with the verse in English, which are sufficient and clear. Sunday is not the Lord's Day in the Bible. It may be in your understanding, but nowhere in the Scriptures. The first day of the week, Sunday, in the New Testament is always recorded as the first day of the week, not Lord's Day or the Day of the Lord. Now let us play the Greek game. Further confirmation of this is knowing Apostle John wrote both Revelation and St. John. Both John chapter 20, verse 1, and John chapter 20, verse 19, use the exact same Greek phrase for the first day of the week. This phrase, in its most elementary form, is first of 7 days. The word Sabbath in Greek, sabbaton, has a broader usage in Greek than exclusively the seventh day, commonly referred to as the Sabbath. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 is not the Greek phrase for the Lord's Day, but is written only one time as a different Greek phrase for the Lord's Day. The same man guided and inspired by the same Holy Spirit who encountered the same ascended and glorified Lord Jesus 60 plus years later would not have forgotten which phrase to use. Moreover, John was a Jew who grew up under the sound of God's Word, the Old Testament, who walked with and was taught by Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, and who was the only apostle to be given the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. John would know full well, completely and correctly, what Lord's Day he was on. Let us first see examples of how the Old English uses prepositions as found in the Old Testament of the Bible. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, in his In the Spirit experience, said it the same way as John did. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Notice that when these prophets of God are in the Spirit, they are both moved somewhere else and to a different time. On the day is used many times in the Old Testament. And I'm not about to read all of these verses for the podcast listeners. There's about, I guess, 20 listed in the book. Just get the book, email or in the mail. But lastly, Obadiah chapter 1 verse 12 for examples of the use of on. Therefore the day John would be on is none other than the day of the Lord, that you can read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, Philippians chapter 2 verse 16, Philippians chapter 1 verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, and Revelation chapter 16 verse 14. This phrase is found throughout the New Testament and is described in this manner: for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You read about that elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2, chapter 5 verse 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 15. Now this descriptive phrase will be examined and to whom it applies. Christians who are awake and alert won't be caught unaware.
Well, no one can say what I can or can't think, and no man can say what I can or can't think. Must be a creed which we all can believe.
There must be beliefs, men, on which we agree.
Drink is our creed, and it's all that we need. Yes, we've seen it all, heard it all, done it all, been there before. All the whining and crying of politics, God, we turn.
what we believe. And the day that it does is the day it'll be when the cucumber sprouts on the sycamore tree. When fishes are seen swimming in the Dead Sea, when a miracle happens, my friends, that'll be. When the drinks are on me.
Remember to visit often and stay late. There's a different world. There's a different world for you to discover.